So, Brad Hayes, among your other expertise is, of course, a very particular one in which you watch the Supreme Court for your students at Union College and for us right here at WAMC. So what's hot in what we're going to be looking at in the Supreme Court this year?
There's a lot going on, as there is at the beginning of every term. But there are three things that I thought I'd highlight for you today, because, they have been in the news associated with the Supreme Court in the recent past. They're hot topic issues. Three of those include affirmative action, campaign finance, and, you know, somewhat shockingly, the nation probably thought we were kind of past this, but health care. The Affordable Care Act is once again potentially on their agenda, and I can talk about that in a second. But let me start with affirmative action. Several years ago, the state of Michigan passed a constitutional amendment prohibiting the use of race in public university admissions and hiring and contract decisions. And it passed about 58% to 42%, so by a fairly wide margin. Well, this was challenged before lower federal courts, and the lower court invalidated the state constitutional amendment as unlawfully disadvantaging African Americans by taking this particular issue outside of ordinary politics. In other words, when you constitutionalize an issue, it kind of takes it out of the realm of ordinary legislative politics, and they said that that was a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Well, the court now is going to take up this issue, and it sets up something that's rather interesting. If the court upholds the state constitutional amendment, it essentially creates a blueprint for states to eliminate affirmative action in admissions and hiring, which has been a conservative priority for several decades now. If the court does not, they effectively tell states that they do not have kind of full authority or control to oversee statewide institutions of higher learning kind of as they see fit. And that is kind of a disconcerting element of kind of state control over its own policy. So there's a real tension there that the Supreme Court's going to have to play with. But we know that the conservative majority on the court right now has been quite hostile to affirmative action policies. So they may actually help craft a blueprint to eliminate its use. In the campaign finance case, I think a case that's actually quite important, a case that's entitled McCutcheon versus the FEC, the court is in some ways going to struggle with the distinctions between contributions and expenditures. Contribution limits are essentially restrictions on the amount a person gives to a political candidate or a committee. Expenditure limits are restrictions on what a person can spend overall. The court has viewed expenditure limits with great skepticism, dating back to the 1970s in Buckley versus Valeo. The Supreme Court has basically said candidates can spend an unlimited amount of their own money when running for office. As we know in the Citizens United case, the Supreme Court said that corporations can spend an unlimited amount for independent speech. The court in this particular case is going to answer the following kind of question. Are aggregate limits, in other words, limits that are capped every 2 years on contributions constitutional? In other words, what's the rationale for treating expenditures differently than contributions? And if, in fact, the court finds that the rationale is not good, you may, in fact, see those caps ruled to be unconstitutional, which would really significantly alter the dynamics of our campaign finance law and allow a lot more money to flood into our election system.
So, Professor, since you are a great expert in this, and I so respect you, your crystal ball, I take it, thinks that they may really do this, right?
I think it's entirely possible that they do it. Now,
5-4.
Probably 5-4. Actually, I think in this case, making it worse, I'd actually have to go back, but it's possible that Justice Kagan will recuse herself. I think she may have had some involvement at the lower level, and so she may recuse herself. So there'd only be 8, but that certainly doesn't help the progressive side. Right. And so, you know, the court has been very unrepentant about Citizens United. In public statements, conservative members say that this is exactly right. And so it doesn't look like they're looking to, you know, kind of in some ways constrain that decision. The question is whether they're looking to expand it by, you know, kind of shifting the rationale for limitations on expenditures to contribution limits. Now, the court historically has treated those things quite differently. So you do have to undo quite a bit of precedent. But you wonder if they begin that process of undoing the restrictions on contributions here. So something very interesting to stay on top of. The last one, just very quickly, is actually a challenge to the Affordable Care Act, much similar to
Obamacare.
Obamacare, right, to what we just saw. Now, to be clear, this is actually currently a petition before the court. The court has not agreed to hear this case, but I think in all likelihood they will. The petition raises the following kind of challenge. It challenges the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act's mandate that employers provide a certain level of health insurance to their workers or pay a penalty. And so you see a very kind of similar challenge that we saw in the last case where, you know, there's a question about whether this mandate is constitutional. And here the distinction is between the way in which the government can dictate things to individuals versus the way it can dictate things to firms or corporations. So there's the distinction. I think the more interesting issue, though, is this.
But this is a central plank in Obamacare.
Yes,
you get rid of this,
absolutely.
And the courts say this, it goes a long way to destroying it.
Absolutely.
And we have John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who had a crucial vote in favor of legitimizing Obamacare, who now has a chance to get back with his right-wing buddies.
Yeah, although I think on that, I expect that one to be favorable to upholding, in other words, continuing with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. It's the second question that's being raised that I think is a little bit more challenging, and that is the question about whether the mandate violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment, free exercise of religion, because it requires companies and employees to support insurance coverage of things like abortion and even kind of at a further extreme birth control in conflict with their religious conscience and convictions. So that's coming at this issue at a very different angle. Now, right, the scope of that ruling, if in fact the court were to say, yes, it does violate the free exercise clause, would be much more narrow, right? It would actually have to be a company, a business that can show some kind of religious exemption. But if in fact they found that, that would be quite notable as a way of kind of getting around the mandate in the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, again, the litigation over the Affordable Care Act is, you know, is alive and well, and we're going to see quite a bit of that before the court. And obviously, there will be a lot of attention paid to what the court does here because of these, you know, kind of highly contentious issues.
Professor Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, always wonderful to have you here. You always set us straight on so many things. I appreciate it.
It's always my pleasure to be on with you, Alan.